that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a f***ing soft sport.
I love it, Gabe. I love it.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're doing well, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Still chugging along, even though the NBL is in its off-season. There still seems to be enough to fill up a podcast once a week, so I won't be going anywhere. But first things first, subscribe to the podcast, hit that little button so you get a new one each time it comes out every week. Rate and review, that'd be swell. And follow me on Facebook and on Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod is my Twitter handle. My guest today on the program is Emiliano Caccia from Sportando.Basketball. I'd like to think I get some style and effort points for the pronunciation. Sportando.Basketball is a great website and a must-follow on Twitter. Emiliano is a must-follow. I've got the links to his Twitter and the website in the info. If you're an NBL guy, Euro, NBA, Sportando is across everything and a great reference, so definitely do that. But our talk with Emiliano centered around his report or tweet, which came out on April 11th, and that tweet read, sources, and then a picture of the Australian flag, NBL players were told that league and team owners asked players to agree on the following or risk being stood down. A 50% pay cut, brackets capped at minimum wage, no career-ending insurance, no health insurance, development player wage reduced from 17K to 15K. Furthermore, in response to that, Emilio wrote, Larry Kesselman said to Sportando, what we are doing is seeing how we can look after our players during this terrible time around the world. We're having productive conversations with players, with the Players Association, and confident we will find common ground. Kesselman furthermore goes on to say, it's a tough time for all, but by working together, we will come out the other end strong. We are still confident we will get our season away as we have 6 months to get through this and feel lucky we are in our off season. So that was everything that Emiliano put out, which is interesting. There's a lot more going on with this wage dispute in the NBL than just that initial tweet. A heck of a lot more. Also, have a look, if you're interested in this story, have a look at NBL Overtime. Liam Santamaria, Cam Luke, Corey Homicide-Williams go over the way that this, or the way that these negotiations are taking place, whereas it's between owners, the Players Association, or Jacob Holmes, who's the head of that, and then he relays it to the two main delegates of each team, and then they relay it to the team. And my understanding, or what Liam Santamaria reported, is that it's quite a vocal conversation between all those tiers. But with Emiliano, what we spoke about, and following on from that tweet, we spoke about how Emiliano came across this information. We talked about the nature of the negotiations, and as I said, to summarize, they've been seemingly pretty tense. The time frame of everything. I mean, the NBL is talking about wage cuts before NBL 21 or before free agency. Salaries from last year are secure. It's the upcoming season, which no other league has really done. But Emiliano will go into that in greater depth. We talk about the likelihood of Aussies returning to the NBL from Europe. And then at the end, we talk about, again, an Aussie returning from Europe to the NBL, in particular Ryan Brokoff, and the NBL and Olympiakos and other Euro options that he has at his disposal. Everyone, I really hope you enjoyed this episode with Emiliano. Emiliano, can you describe yourself to people listening, who you are and who you write for?
I'm Emiliano. I'm Italian from Rome, even if I live in Milan. I'm the owner of the website, the basketball website, Sportando.Basketball. And I write about basketball since more than 10 years. And my website is, I think, is well-known all around the world. It's in Italian and in English. And I try to cover the worldwide basketball, not only Italian and European, but also NBA and Australian and Asian and Latin American basketball.
Perfect. What put you on my radar was your most recent article and tweet about the NBL, let's call it the contract negotiations around this COVID-19 thing. So my first question for you, Emiliano, is without revealing your sources, how did you discover the parameters or conditions of the deal in discussion between the NBL and its players?
So I was told by an agent that there was this discussion ongoing. Then I double checked with a friend of mine from Australia that covers Australian basketball, and I found out that actually the the scoop, the breaking news was true. So, and I wanted to report that there were some discussion between the NBL and the players and team owners to reduce the salaries of the players for next season for like 50%. And a lot of players, mostly Americans, of course, were not happy about this reduction, because they are just thinking that NBL is trying to use the COVID-19 coronavirus to force them to agree to this salary pay cut, even if the league will start in October. So why do you have to discuss now the contracts or the salaries for next season? Why you want to talk now if we don't know what is going to happen in 1 month with this virus? Maybe there will be a vaccine. There are talks about a vaccine available from September. Why you want me to reduce my paycheck now? And so it was not an NBL player that contacted me, but it was an agent. While I was asking to my Australian source, I was contacted by another local agent that asked me not to write the news, because he said that he was going to hurt players. But how can this news can hurt players? Players, if the news come out, maybe players can have more leverage to
get a deal.
Yeah, to have the right deal for them. So, and this is how it happens. Then I was going to publish because, you know, in Italy we are like eight hours earlier than you. Mm-hmm. So I was going to write late at night in Italy when it was morning in Australia, when I was put in contact with the NBL owner, Larry Kestelman. Mm-hmm. So I told him that what I was going to report. Actually, he did not deny what I was going to report. He said that there are ongoing negotiation, that this is a terrible period around the world, and I don't know. He wanted me to avoid to write the news in my opinion, because I don't know why, because he wanted to have more leverage on the player and on the negotiation. But I was sure that what I was going to report was true. So I decided to report and write also his word. He said that not all my report was correct. There were some mistakes. But what I reported, it was really what it was told to the players last week in a conference call. So I was sure that the report was true.
Right. One question I have for you is, do you know if those conditions that you put out, and I'll read it at the top of the program, do you know if those conditions put out were agreed to by all the owners? We obviously have 9 teams. Did all 9 owners agree to sort of the 50% wage cut and the insurance changes? Do you know if all 9 teams agreed?
No. I don't know how many owners asked to their player to cut their salaries, but I know that the NBL owner want to do that.
Right. Okay. Tell me this. We've looked at the parameters. It's about a sort of 50% wage reduction and a few insurance changes. Is the deal that the NBL is talking to its players about, is it similar to other deals in other leagues in Europe? Is it a common deal?
No, not at all, because actually in Europe they are teams are talking with players to cut salaries for this season that didn't end. So they are talking about 20% off from the season salary, and a lot of players agreed on this condition. For example, in Italy, I'm Italian, so I know better that Italian Lega Basket reached an agreement with the Coaches and Players Association about a 20% reduction on the players' salaries. So the 20% on the season salary. So, but this is the contract that for games that they didn't play, because Italy is suspended since more than 1 month and has been already canceled the entire season. But they are not discussing now the contract for next season. So it's really too early. And for example, I didn't understand why Australia NBL want to do this with this with its player, because you know Australia I think is one of the few leagues in the world that ended. Mm-hmm. So it ended, they played three games of the finals. Of course they maybe miss two or three more games, but they could play the entire season with public and they didn't have losses. Mm. Economic losses. So why you want to use now COVID and coronavirus now to force player to a salary cut in a season that will start maybe in October, because we don't know even when the next season will start, if we'll start in on time.
Yeah.
In Italy we are they are already talking that to play behind closed door till December. But right. if we play in, so if they want teams to play behind closed door till December, I don't know if there will be an Italian Serie A next season, because a lot of teams, we don't have a lot of money, and a lot of teams survive because of ticketing or season ticket holders. So I think it's really too early to talk about next season, because we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow with this virus.
Good point. And just to clarify, with the NBL deal, so all the contracts from this season that just finished or was very close to finishing, I think two or three games didn't get played, the players will get paid that money. What this contract discussion is about is the contracts for next season, NBL
yes,
in 2000.
It's about next season, NBL 2020, 2021, right. And not this season, because actually this season, as I said, it's finished. They just didn't play two or three games, while, as I told you, in Italy, Spain, Germany, France, BTB League, ABBA Liga. So it's more than 1 month that they didn't play, and they will not resume the season. So I can understand that owners want to cut the salaries of their players, because the season ended like 3 months earlier with no winning, with no playoffs, with the regular season didn't end. So it makes sense, but they are not talking about cutting salaries of the players for next season, at least now. Maybe if in August we will know that the games will be played behind closed door or something happen, maybe they will discuss about cutting salaries for next season. But really now is really too early to talk about.
In your report, it said that players were issued or spoken about these discussions. And then the thing was they'd have to agree to these conditions or be stood down, was the words that we used. Are negotiations that heavy-handed or that kind of strong? Or is it still debatable, that percentage of wage decrease?
I think that the negotiations are strong, but are heavy. But I think they will find for sure a solution, because I don't know, I can see that having an NBL season without Americans if the NBL and the player association agree on this deal, because why Americans should go to Australia, that actually is a rich country, an expensive country, and go there with for a few money. It's better to play in Europe or in Asia, Latin American, for better money economic condition, even players that already have a contract for next season. So why they should give up on half or a bit less than half of their salary?
No, I agree. And it seems an interesting amount. Do you think that wage decrease will sit around 50% next year, or could it go up to sort of as little as a 10 or 20%, which we've seen somewhere else? Is that likely?
I think they will find an agreement around 20 or 30%.
So that's which is still a lot.
Yes, it's a lot. And I still don't understand why they want to negotiate now the money for next season. Mm. Because you say that so the free agency is starting in NBL.
May 1st.
Yes, but what free agency? So how can you start free agency now if you don't know when the NBA ends? What about the rookies? What about the American rookies? They want to wait for the NBA draft. And what if the draft will be postponed to August or even September, and free agents in September? For example, in Europe, a lot of teams with a small budget, they used to sign rookies. But rookies first want to know if they can have a chance in the NBA or in G League or something like that. And if they don't know till August or September, the market is impossible to make market now. Maybe you can sign local player. Okay, it will be easier. You know that maybe Australian will remain Australia, but for Americans, I think it's very difficult to negotiate deals now.
Mm. In the NBA deal reported, there was talk of no or little health insurance or career-ending insurance. Is that common? A common request in these sorts of things? I've never really seen things like that. And also onto that, my understanding is that that part of the agreement has been agreed on, that the players are okay with foregoing insurance. It's the percentage of the wage that they're debating. But my question to you is that uncommon to see insurance on deals get taken out to save money?
I don't think it's common. You know, it's not common where there is like a salary cap or there is player association, but it's not very... So the having a salary cap is not very, how to say, there are not a lot of leagues that in the entire world have a salary cap.
Right.
So I think there is the NBL and the NBA. There is now a CBA from next season. They are trying to make signing a salary cap. It's CBA is China, but in Europe there is not a salary cap. So actually it's a tricky question, because I don't think there is something like this in other countries with salary caps, for example NBA or China.
What's interesting with the salary cap as well, with this negotiation, and this is why it seems so strange where we talk about the timing, like why are they debating wages for next season so early? Because, yeah, as you said, the NBL has what's called a soft salary cap that teams can go over, but they pay a tax. So the question of wages really comes to, is that salary cap going to decrease by 50%? And are teams, is it going to be a hard or soft cap? Are teams going to be allowed to go over to pay players? So while the league could ask that their wages get cut by 50%, the team owners could go over the cap and pay their players what they were going to pay them anyway. So it's a really odd situation in the NBL.
Yes, it's a strange situation, because even player didn't understand very well this. So also the cap will be cut by 50%. And people can continue to have their salary, but then they have to pay more taxes. So, but at the NBL owners, the team owners, the money to pay more taxes. So that's also the question, I think. If they would decide to cut the salary cap, so will have the owner the power to still pay players with their old salaries and pay more taxes?
Who knows? One thing I just recently was watching NBL Overtime, which is a show on the NBL, and they had a little bit to say about this contract issue, but more what they basically said was that it's quite emotional, the negotiations, as you said at the top, Emiliano, you know, where players are, yeah, there seems to be a lot of frustration and a lot of energy behind these negotiations. And the way it seems to work is the owners have a conference. They then talk to Jacob Holmes, who's the NBL Players Association committee. He then talks to each team's player delegate, and there's normally one or two guys from each team who listens to him and then relays it onto the team, and then they sort of have their input whether they like what's going on or don't like what's going on. But that's kind of all that program really had to say. But Liam Santamaria, who's a reporter on there, he did say that the negotiations are heading towards a tipping point, was the exact words that he used. So he seems to think there will be some sort of resolution within the next, I presume, couple of weeks or months or week or couple of weeks or a month. So it's pretty interesting stuff. There was the other conversation around the NBL, and this wasn't one of my questions I wrote to you, but that there won't be imports next season. Have you heard anything that would suggest that's likely? So no Americans and Europeans in the Australian League?
I think that there will be some American, there will be for sure, even if they decide for a pay cut of 50%. it's impossible, I think, to play a basketball season without American imports. So they will sign a cheaper American, or cheaper American could be also a weaker player. So not strong, like I can say Bryce Cotton, for example, or you have LaMelo Ball or Jay Anton, even if they are the development players.
Fair enough.
But I think that the risk is to have less Americans and a less strong season next season.
I think so too. Here's my question, Emiliano. Do you think it's more or less likely that Australians who were playing overseas, particularly in Europe, find their way back to the NBL? Because when I first heard this news about the virus, I thought, oh, well, a lot of Australian players, you know, good ones like a Brock Modem or Jack Lander, these guys will return to Australia and perhaps play in the NBL. But now that this deal is on the table and the money's now come out of the NBL, it's flip-flopped. I thought it was going to be a good thing for the league, and now it seems to be a bad thing for the league. So my question to you, Emiliano, is how likely is it that Australian players return from Europe to play in the NBL, do you think?
I think it won't happen. So the Australian player that are playing in Europe, you mentioned Jock Landale or
Brock Modem.
Brock Modem, I think they will remain in Europe because they are playing for very good teams, and they are earning good money. So I think it's really almost impossible for them to return to NBL unless it happens something that we really don't hope that it happens about this coronavirus, that they just close all the borders and people just can travel. Or EuroLeague doesn't resume, or Europe will start in January because they are forced to play behind closed door. So I think that good Australian player will remain in Europe. And or in the NBA or in G League where they are. Is really unlikely to see them back in NBL.
Do you think there's any likelihood that, let's say, the NBL season starts in October, as it's supposed to, and if you're thinking that the EuroLeague could be delayed until January, do you think there's any likelihood that Australians play those short couple of months in the NBL, say from October through November, December, and into January, and then jump over to the EuroLeague, or is that not likely?
I don't think is likely, because even if the EuroLeague will start in January, I can see that some national leagues in Europe will start regularly in October or November. I think the problem could be with caps, because you know a lot of teams from different countries and different situations that we don't know what is going to happen in 5-6 months. So I think leagues where there are no a lot of infected, or where they are able to stop the infection, will start and resume regularly. But for the Caps, I think this is a more difficult thing, because as I said, a lot of country, different situation, as it will be very difficult to travel.
For the Cups, cross country competition will be difficult. That makes sense. The one question I have for you is Angus Brand, who's Australian, played in Italy. He has now returned to Australia. Did he have a longer contract with his Italian team? Of all the Australians playing in Europe, he seems to me the one who's perhaps most likely to return to the NBL. Do you see in his particular situation, do you think he's likely to play in the NBL or not so much?
I think Angus Brown could be a player that that will return to NBL. He had a very good season with he was having a good season with Pistoia in Serie A. He started not very well, but then he improved and was really one of their key players for they were fighting for avoid the relegation. They had a good run a few months ago, and Angus Brown was really a good player. You know, he's not like Jack Landale or Ryan Brokoff or Motum or a player like this, that he can have a good contract in NBL and stay in NBL unless traveling to Europe to play for Pistoia.
Sure. Let's talk. You mentioned Ryan Brokoff. Let's talk about him. Apparently, he's been offered a 2-year deal with Olympiacos around about the sort of 800,000 euro mark. Have you heard about this offer? Do you think it's likely? What are your thoughts?
I think Ryan Brokhoff is pursued by a half EuroLeague team. Right. So I think it won't be smart for him to sign contract now because of the uncertainty of the situation. But for sure, he was close to sign for CSKA Moscow before the lockdown and the suspension of EuroLeague. And the day before EuroLeague market closed, he was in advanced negotiation, but they couldn't find an agreement. But I can see him playing for not Olympiacos, I think better team. Also, Maccabi Tel Aviv wants him, and Maccabi Tel Aviv want to build a contending team for EuroLeague. I think CSKA Moscow will try to sign him, or some Spanish team like Barcelona, Real Madrid. He's a very good player, and after two seasons in the NBA, where actually he played but not too much, I think his EuroLeague is the right fit for him, and I can see him signing for a very good team for very good money, if there will be money for basketball next season.
I agree. That was a question I had for you, Emiliano. We had a report on the NBL that this season the NBL lost or was the owners lost about $10 to $15 million. And this is a question I haven't prepared for you, but maybe you got an answer about it. How do you see the future of basketball in Europe from a money standpoint? Is there good? There's always the players get paid quite well, but is the league sustainable? Is it confident it can see through the virus? Because the NBL is obviously a little bit shaky. Is it the same in Europe or a bit better?
I think there will be a lot of teams that will disappear because of this virus. I can see in Italy at least a couple of teams disappear because of the money they lost of sponsor or ticketing for the last 3 months of season that was not played. It will be a hard time next season and in the next year because if they will also oblige teams to play behind closed door, it will be like terrible. It will be terrible.
And, no tickets.
No tickets. No money. And I don't know really. Now I don't have a good answer to your question because I see that a lot of teams will disappear or will go to lower division because there are no money.
Right. Fair enough, Emiliano. That's all my questions for you. I've got one last one though. What are you doing personally during this time when you're locked down? Are you writing? Are you watching TV? What's your music? What are you doing?
Luckily I have a 2-month daughter, so I can spend a lot of time with her, and I stay at home. Mm-hmm. It's me, my girlfriend, and my daughter. What else? I watch some movie or a series on Netflix or Amazon and I try to write news about basketball, but you know it's very difficult because there are no news and I'm bored of reporting news about a player that was infected to COVID, or I'm bored of reporting news of NBA players playing PlayStation 2K because it's really, really boring. So watching play, I don't like video games, and really I hate more watching NBA players playing
play
video
them.
Games.
Right. Bad combination. Bad combination.
Yes, and I go for a run like 3 times per week, but 20 minutes, half an hour, walking, running not further than 200 meters from my house because I can't. And I'm getting bored, actually.
Okay. I mean, I wish I had a secret recipe to help you with the boredom. I'm doing the same thing. Sitting around watching TV, and I'm the same way. I can't stand watching the NBA players play video games. Emiliano,
I'm getting fatter because I'm eating a lot. Unfortunately, that's
Emiliano. Grazie mille, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Joseph.
Thanks very much, everyone. As I said at the top of the program, subscribe, rate, review. Much appreciated. Take care.